Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. As the clock ticks down to the reopening of local schools, the debate over safety and the concerns of parents, teachers, and others continues to be hashed out in meetings and in the public. School boards are finalizing plans while reaching out to the parents to keep them informed. Yet in some aspects, the very fluid situation. Teacher unions are seeking an intervention of the Ministry of Labor, adding uncertainty. The province is making last-minute decisions to provide boards with flexibility around opening dates, and so it goes day by day. Underpinning a lot of those plans are the health units across the province. Locally, it's no different. School boards have worked collaboratively with public health officials to finalize plans. To hear what's being done in Northumberland, here is Pam Stuckless, Director of Health Promotion, to discuss this aspect. Thank you so much. Pam, I'd like to bring you into the conversation, please, because next week is a very, very big week in a lot of people's lives, and that's the time when kids are going to be going back to school, whether it's kindergarten or right through to college and university. A lot of public education institutions are opening up. I'd like to ask you, how prepared are we in this region for this major step?
Well, Rob, we have been working very closely with all of our partners. So since I would say perhaps the mid-July to early August, on a weekly basis, we have been meeting with all of our provincial partners and boards of education, like the Ministry of Education and all of our boards, our local health units have been meeting with all of our provincial partners. Then likewise, we have also been having weekly meetings with all of our local school boards, all of our local health units, that wherein we share school boards so that we're having consistent approaches and consistent messaging throughout each of the various regions. The province has very kindly provided funding for us to hire additional nurses. So we have had a team in place, and we're continuing to build that team so that we can actively support those schools. We, you know, obviously last week we received the guidance from the province. So internally with our local public health unit partners and with our local school boards, we are working to ensure that we have all the requisite practices in place for schools to open.
That provincial money that you received for the additional nurses, how many nurses have you been able to hire for the health unit for the region that's being covered?
So we have received funding for 6 provincial positions and then federal money to hire an additional 2 nurses. So the strategy that we have used thus far is to hire from within. So our already experienced public health nurses who are familiar with our school boards and have already worked very closely. So at this time, we have basically a team of 5 nurses and then other support staff. So we also have a dietitian, we have our health promoters also doing this work to help support schools. We do then have external postings out with the hope then to hire external to fill those remaining positions.
So if I understand you correctly, there's going to be 8 additional nurses plus the regular staff that's there that are going to be responsible for responding to health concerns within the public school system, not just the public, but the entire school system within your coverage area. Is that correct? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, that is correct.
So I know it seems strange, but there was a time, and probably a long time ago, that every school had a nurse. How is this going to be effective in the face of such an important time as children go back to school and the risks of spread of the pandemic? are so I don't want to say high, but certainly we're all on alert about it. So how do we know that this is enough and this will be sufficient?
So, I mean, I guess at this point in time, I think some of the you know, key successes that we've had, to be honest, throughout this entire response is greater collaboration across, you know, all jurisdictions, all municipalities. And so hopefully that consistent messaging, everybody working together will put those appropriate practices in place. I think from us, you know, our experience that we've had working with the school boards, we've obviously worked very closely with the school boards. We've had a designated staff in the schools. We've had school health liaisons in place that work with our local school boards for quite some time. So I feel that we, you know, in terms of working very closely with them, we'll be able to quickly identify the issues. We have, you know, clear guidance from the province in terms of what our role is as a public health unit, in terms of, you know, helping to then support, you know, IPAC practices, so infection prevention and control. And also, in addition, working with our school boards to implement comprehensive school health. So we've already had a lot of success in the schools looking at, you know, mental health practices, food security. So, you know, while we don't know what's ahead of us in terms of magnitude, I would say I feel that those eight nurses will be well positioned to help support the schools. In addition to, obviously, while they're the direct contact to the schools, we also have a very experienced team behind us here at the health unit that, you know, in the event of an outbreak, that will be able to offer more than adequate support to address any issues that arise related to COVID.
What kind of concerns does the health unit have regarding the reopening?
I would say more than anything right now, it's just, you know, things are moving very quickly. So the timely access to information, you know, being able to prepare, knowing that timeline is looming, is one of the greatest challenges. I think, you know, otherwise, we know we've got well-established partnerships, that we have all the basis in terms of public health measures that we know to be put in place, and that we're in a keen position to work closely with the schools to address, you know, any educational requirements or any other concerns they may have.
Do you think we'll see a second wave locally based on the reopening of the schools and the changes that take place in the fall?
I mean, as Mary or Anne-Marie has indicated, it'll be interesting to decipher what is COVID related versus what is our normal trend around illnesses returning to school. So any like respiratory viruses that we normally see, you know, our evidence indicates that, you know, there is the potential for a second wave. I don't know that I would say that it is directly perhaps going to be related to the schools returning. But, you know, yes, unfortunately, there is that potential for that second wave.
Do you feel the health unit's prepared to handle this second wave?
I would say, and Anne-Marie can, you know, step in here also, that we have done a number of scenario planning, I guess, in terms of you know, based on the evidence that we've seen, the potential for three different scenarios, and we have planned internally for each of those iterations, and you know, attempting to ensure that we have all the adequate resources in place should that arise.
There may be parents listening to this broadcast. What recommendations do you have for parents to prepare for going back to school next week?
We encourage all parents to subscribe to the public health measures that we have been, you know, touting up to this point. So, you know, active hand washing, physical distancing, wearing medical masks, non-medical masks if they're indicated. staying home if they're sick. Also recognizing that this is a time of great stress and unknowns. So we encourage parents to prepare students now for what will await them when they return to school. So having those conversations around enhanced safety measures that will be in place in the school that can help improve understanding, reduce anxiety, and help ease their transition to the schools. So that can include, encouraging students to regularly wash their hands with soap and water, discussing the new mask rules, getting children to even practice putting their mask on and off. We have a number of resources on our website for parents, videos available for them to engage in these discussions and to demonstrate, the proper application for children.
Anne Marie, just in the larger picture, all of us are going to be a little bit on edge for this fall because we've heard so much through media and just through all the communication channels, social media, about a second wave this fall. For the rest of us, what should we be doing come this fall to help mitigate any potential second wave?
Thanks, Rob. I think that there's a number of things that that the general population can do. And as you know, this coming into the fall is the time when we see other respiratory viruses circulating, including influenza. The sort of symptoms as they present initially between influenza and COVID actually don't entirely look different as we're trying to identify if an individual is a COVID case or whether they are ill with influenza. As you know, the influenza vaccine is universally available for free to all of the Ontario population for any person who's over 6 months of age, so including babies. I would encourage that our population, if they have not before, to get the flu shot this year. This has the potential to significantly impact healthcare utilization and our healthcare capacity by reducing the burden of influenza within the community when we're expecting to see COVID circulating where we don't have a vaccine. We are planning for an increased uptake in influenza immunization this year. And so I would encourage all of us to get out to our local pharmacy or to our healthcare provider in order to get the influenza vaccine when it's available, because this certainly will assist in managing the numbers of visits to our emerge departments, and will certainly assist us also in managing outbreaks where we know that there's an increase in illness presenting, and in that period of time as we're trying to determine whether it's COVID or flu, the more of our population that's protected from flu, the better for everyone.
When should we start to look for that opportunity to get those vaccines?
So the health unit routinely, which will be the same case this year, will be receiving vaccine to the latter part of this month into the first week of October for high-risk populations initially. We are a vaccine distribution center, for lack of a better term, so we will distribute vaccine out to all of our healthcare providers and to any others that have requested to receive vaccine from us. And then the pharmacies will be receiving vaccine directly from our provincial counterparts at Ontario Government Pharmacy. And so early in October, the population will start to see messaging and information about the availability of flu vaccine. And the province has been working quite diligently to be sure that we have adequate supply, that we have supply early enough within the influenza season, and that we have extra supply available because we are hopeful that all of our residents will take up the influenza vaccine this year if they have not before.
Anne Marie Holt, Pam Stuckless, thank you so much for taking time out of your incredibly busy lives and busy work to come and talk to me today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Thank
Rob.
Thank you.
Take care.
That was my conversation with Pam Stuckless, Director of Health Promotion, and Anne-Marie Holt, Director of Health Protection for the Halliburton Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.